Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. Committee hearings are underway for specific legislative proposals. For today's In Their Own Words segment, we take you inside the Senate Education Committee as members' first round of testimony on Senate Bill 68. That's a bill that would establish community school guidelines with flexible curriculum emphasizing native language and cultural interests. A similar bill was approved in the Senate last year, but it failed in the House at that time. Take a listen.
So Senate Bill 68 is an act to provide for the creation and funding of Ocheti Shakowin-based, community-based schools. Proponents for Senate Bill 68. Anyone in the committee room that would like to appear before the committee in support of Senate Bill 68? Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning, Chairman, members of the committee. My name is Ross Garlick Bell. I represent the South Dakota Education Equity Coalition, as well as the Yankton Sioux Tribe and Crow Creek Sioux Tribe. I'm here to kind of walk through real quick what Senate Bill 68 is. So the way the bill works is it establishes an Ocheti Shakowin Essential Understanding Community-Based School. That school's application is sponsored by a nonprofit organization. That nonprofit would take the application to the local school board in which they wish to operate. They cannot operate outside the school district that they wish to operate in. So they can't be a satellite school outside and extend a different school district into another school district. The school board would then have to either approve or deny the application. The school boards have complete control of whether the school actually exists in any case. Then you go into the contracting phase if it is approved. Again, the school district is the one that's being contracted with the sponsor as to be the sponsor with the nonprofit entity. And the school board will determine all the requirements in there, again, using state regulations to do that. The district doesn't lose the population because the students are technically still part of the school district. So as funding issues go for the district, it doesn't change anything. What it does do within the district, if the school's approved and there's a contract, is within the district funds, the money follows the students proportionately as it does with any other school. Now, the teachers are the same situation. There's different requirements there, but again, if teachers go to teach at the Ocheti Shakowin school and the school closes down for whatever reasons, if they're in non-compliance with their requirements in the contract or whatever, those teachers are not going to be harmed for taking the chance to go teach at the school. They're still part of the system. The school board also has the ability to review every year what's going on, and they're submitting reviews to the Secretary of Education for an annual report. The school boards, again, have the opportunity on the renewal to deny the renewal. They have an opportunity to unilaterally cancel the contracts if they find that the school is out of compliance with any section of it. In no way is this bill mandating that the school has to be opened. It's completely at the school board's recommendation or decision on the application that's going there. The only thing this bill does is offer another tool in the education tool shed, especially in a COVID world, in which the parents have a teaching that may be better suited for their students. Again, this was built out of a lot of compromises and getting people on board to make sure all parties were satisfied, and we hope you pass it. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Further proponents, and I'm going to ask Sarah Pierce maybe if she'd come up. Welcome back. It's good to see you again.
Good morning. My name is Sarah Pierce, and I'm testifying as an individual today. I am an enrolled member of the Oglala Sioux Tribe, and I'm blessed to parent four amazing children. We reside in Rapid City, but all four of my sons attend the Oglala Lakota County School District. Parents like myself who reside in the Rapid City Area School District have limited opportunities and access for our children to access equitable Lakota language and cultural courses. In light of COVID-19, members of our community were able to consult with the local Oglala Lakota County School District and basically provide our students the opportunity to attend a school district that was both academically rigorous and also offered some access to language and culture. When a system, the entire education system, and this system as we know it as Indigenous people, started in 1868 under the direction of a war general named Richard Henry Pratt, who coined the term, kill the Indian, save the man. The very same education system that we see today has little evolved since that effort. And so when that same system perpetually underserves an entire demographic, and that is by no failed exhaustive effort from parental advocacy or practitioners who are working diligently to innovate within the current system, it is a clear indication that authentic change is necessary to create something that is both responsive to needs and yields successful outcomes. We firmly believe that SB 68 will do this and create this opportunity. And we also want to ask those in opposition what solutions they brought forth. What solutions have they been working on since last legislative session when they denied the right for this to pass? Thank you.
We have about 3 minutes. Helena brings plenty.
Okay. Hihani washte imachia puzutas guyawi. Good morning. My Lakota name is Sweet Medicine Woman, and my English name is Helena Brings Plenty. I'm an Ogallala Lakota Sioux Tribal Enrolled member. I'm also half Northern Cheyenne, and I'm also currently a junior at Littlewood High School on the Pioneer Ridge Reservation. However, I'm a resident of the Rapid City School District, and I reside in Rapid City. I grew up in Portland, Oregon, where I lived from first grade through eighth grade. I attended Portland Public Schools through elementary, but in middle school, I attended an arts charter school called Da Vinci Arts Middle School. I truly feel this school saved my life for the first time. I excelled in school. Previously, I felt so isolated in a public school district that didn't understand my needs as the only Indigenous person in my classes. But I felt through music, I was able to express myself in my industrial connections playing the flute. After moving back to South Dakota and attending public school in Rapid City, I felt the same sense of lost cultural support again, isolated and only this time my own ancestral lands. And this is why my parents support me attending school on the reservation and investing in me and my little sisters to drive back and forth to the reservation from Rapid City on a daily so that I can see the cultural curriculum Indigenous-led education. Please vote in favor of the Ocheti Shakowi State Bill 68 so students like me can attend a community-based school that gives me an equitable opportunity to learn in an environment that's tailored for me, not only to succeed, but to thrive as an Indigenous leader.
Thank you, Helena, and you did it within the allotted time. That was outstanding, so thank you on behalf of the committee. First person that would like to be here to present to the committee in opposition to Senate Bill 68, we're going to go online first. Is that Dr. Simon, you're number one in the leadoff, so you're appearing digitally. We apologize for any delay. We think we'll be able to hear you well. We've heard everyone else. Please provide testimony to the committee.
Good morning, Senators. Thank you for the opportunity to speak to you this morning about Senate Bill 68. My name is Dr. Lori Simon, and I am the superintendent of the Rapid City Area Schools. I want to begin this morning by saying that I believe we all share a common goal of wanting to achieve better outcomes for our Native American students. We have made some good progress in the Rapid City Area Schools during my tenure. During the last 4 years, our graduation numbers have steadily increased, graduating our largest class of Indigenous students last May. Additionally, we have expanded Lakota language opportunities, hired Native American social workers to support students and families, and have been recognized by the South Dakota Department of Education as a model district for our implementation of the Ocheti Shakowin Essential Understandings. And I will also add that our district has higher test scores for Native American students than the charter school in New Mexico the proponents of this bill are modeling their pilot after. While we have made progress, we know there's a lot of work to do. And to that end, I am here today to propose an alternative option to Senate Bill 68. As an assistant superintendent in Robbinsdale, I oversaw two highly successful magnet schools, and I led a large task force in the development and launch of one of them, the Robbinsdale School of Engineering and Arts. To this day, both of these schools remain two of the highest achieving schools, not only in the Twin Cities metro area, but in the entire state of Minnesota. And they are both highly sought after, with wait lists for both every year in the hundreds. Over the past few months, I have had conversations with some members of our local Native American community, our school board, some of our local legislators, and those who wrote Senate Bill 68 about exploring a partnership to co-develop a Lakota Immersion and Culture Magnet School with positive feedback. Our school board is supportive of this idea. Our legislators, whom we recently met with, seem to find this alternative appealing. When the writers of Senate Bill 68 recently presented to us in a school board study session, I shared that the board and I are supportive of partnering on a magnet school, to which the response was, "That would be fantastic." I believe partnering on a Lakota Immersion Magnet School would accomplish the same goals they seek without having to divide scarce resources, create legislation that would essentially lead to the formation of a new school district, or cause a long list of governance, logistical, financial, and liability issues and challenges that this legislation and sponsoring a charter school would create for us.
Further opposition to Senate Bill 68. Mr. Pogany, welcome.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. I'm Wade Pogany. I'm the Executive Director for the Associated School Boards of South Dakota, and thank you for your time this morning to visit with you. I want to be clear, when our school boards have discussed this over the past year, we are in no way opposed to helping Native American children. That is the picture that we've been painted, but that is not true. So I'm delighted to hear when Dr. Simon talks about alternative solutions to this. Because this solution, I know you are supportive of it, and that's okay, I think has a lot of ramifications for school boards that are very, very negative. And so when I heard the proponents talk about this gives you local control, I'm surprised, because this bill does not give you local control. And I want to point out three areas where this is it rips out local control for the most part. So please take a look at your bills. I want to throw you three things. One, look at Section 2 of the bill. And if you look and read down that first paragraph just a little bit, it talks about the application shall be approved if, and then it lists five conditions by which that application has to be approved. It does not say may. It does not give school boards discretion to say approve or deny, even though the sentence before it says approve or deny. It is not discretionary. If the application fundamentally meets those five criteria, that school board has no discretion. That is not local control, folks. Secondly, read Section 1. And if you go to Section 1, subsection 3, it says there will be a separate board created for governance. A separate board. Now we have a separate school board within a school district, a separate board governing the Ochetti School, completely separate from the current board. That is not local control. Third, when you read the bill, local boards are still accountable. You can read the whole bill, and what you have to conclude is that local school boards are still accountable to the school. Here's the problem. There's a separate school board running that school. So how is it that our school boards that I represent can possibly govern or make decisions about that school and still be held accountable? That's a blank check, folks. And my school boards have said, we can't be held accountable for something that we have no say in. That is not local control. I thank you for your time.
Thank you, Mr. Pogany.
Debate on Senate Bill 68 continued this morning in the Senate Education Committee after further testimony. Senate Bill 68 passed on a vote of 6-1. Next, it goes to the Senate floor for consideration. You'll hear more in their own words every day during the legislative session here on In the Moment.